Welcome to Classic Comics Cavalcade. I'm Jason Sachs.
I'm Amir Malikpour.
And we are doing another one of our little show and tell. I like that term, show and tell shows, where we just kind of share some of our favorite recent pickups. What have you bought recently that you loved?
The first one is called Power Stars. John Jacobs. It's kind of a rare independent comic with like crazy drawings, and like there's like it features a superhero called Black Atlas, and it's just kind of like a rare find that I found on eBay and I just got it. It's got some, what I love about these types of artwork is like it looks crazy, right? And it's very inspiring because it gets me to want to draw too, because I feel like I can get kind of close to that. Yeah, so it's Black Atlas. So that's
actually better art than I thought it was going to be.
It's pretty cool. Well, that's a good part.
Okay.
But there's like other things, you know.
Okay. Still pretty slick. Wow. Nice find. What year is that from?
1985. And the time. Okay. The lettering is like typewriter lettering.
Oh, I love that. Old word processor style.
Word processors, that's right. Yeah. Literal typewriter. But I think I actually read this one. It's called Billy 99. And I picked it up like for $2 for the whole, like each, like $8 for the whole set is 4 issues. I've only read this first issue, but it's pretty cool. It kind of, it just shows like a woman who's like in a city run by crime and like really tough stuff, but she's like a tough person, and her name is Billy 99, or Billy. It's drawn by Tim Sale. That was like the big attraction for me that I got. It's like, and Sarah Bynum wrote it. I think she wrote some Catwoman stuff, right? Or
I think DC. So.
Yeah.
I remember that being a pretty good book. So what's it about? She gets caught up, you said, in.
Yeah, she just caught up in, you know, I haven't read the rest of the issues, but initially you just kind of get, she's caught up and like kind of works at a restaurant and like steals food from the restaurant. Just kind of like a, almost like a dystopian type of a world.
Oh, that sounds, I have it somewhere in my collection. I need to reread that. So my books today are also going to mostly be older stuff. So War is Hell number 9 from Marvel Comics, 1974. By Chris Claremont, with art by Dick Ayres and Frank Springer. Plot was conceived by Tony Isabella and Roy Thomas and Steve Gerber.
Mm.
And so this first issue is about this guy who's a Medal of Honor winner in the military. And then he gets basically tried and convicted of treason. He doesn't get kicked out of the army, he gets demoted down to private. So he gets sent to Poland during World War II, and he gets caught up in the middle of the German invasion of Poland. Timing is kind of strange on it, but maybe that's just my misinterpretation. And the whole thing is this very kind of gritty story about this guy who's like morally compromised, who ends up having to kind of find his way in the middle of this war situation. And he saves a little girl, and he has literally has death come and haunt him throughout the story.
Oh, wow.
Death is the nightmare specter that haunts him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see it's up on a hill talking to him. It's a surprisingly great comic. You could see, like, there's wonderful, not wonderful, but really powerful images of war and devastation. The look on that girl's face. Or the opening 2-page spread.
Oh, that's a nice spread. Wow.
It's actually a pretty interesting, sophisticated war comic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically the origin story of the soldier, John Kowalski. And then in the next 6 or 7 issues of the series, till it got canceled, he would haunt the bodies of people throughout history in war and experience their traumas as a way of him atoning for his sins.
Mm.
It's actually a pretty good, deep, deep, deep cut Silver Age or Bronze Age find.
Is that kind of like Quantum Leap type of a thing?
Yeah. It's a little like a quantum leap kind of thing, except he takes over soldiers' bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
On lighter terms, I'm going to be like all older books and reprints today. I picked up the Destroyer Duck Graphite Edition, which is drawn by Jack Kirby and written by Steve Gerber, right? Can't get any better than that in some ways.
That's what I'm saying. What's perfect for Jason?
It's Kirby pencils, all reprinted from the original Kirby pencils. It's one of these Tomorrow books that's totally reprinted from the Kirby originals. And somehow they have the originals of every page Kirby drew of the book, as well as plot summaries from Gerber, like Gerber's specific scripts and plots. There's a great letter towards the back where Gerber says, "We should have just done this book as a one-shot because I can't get a handle on this series. I'm spending so much time and energy and nothing is coming together for me on this." There's something fundamentally wrong with the book, the character, the storyline, the whole damn thing, he says. And then basically he decides to give up on it.
And at some point, who was the person? Was it Alcala who stepped in and did some pencils?
Alcala did the inks on it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
all
okay.
Throughout. Yeah. Alcala was the inker. And then the last issue 7, Gerber hands it off to a buddy of his, Buzz Dixon. And he does it with some guy, Gary Cato, who was a former fan turned pro. He's done some minor stuff over the years.
Oh, got it.
Pretty talented guy, but he just limited portfolio. But anyway, like from the standpoint of like, this is totally hits my sweet spot. It really is like a perfect little book. And, you know, I was actually thought about getting Destroyer Duck bound over the years.
Yeah.
And this totally takes away that need because it's a really nice formatted reprint. The spine is really well made. It's got really nice edging on it. It's actually really close to what I would have done if I'd gotten it bound myself, only much nicer.
I'm so impressed by Tomorrow's. Like, they don't make that much money off of this, right? Or hopefully they do.
How much could they make off of this? Now, the thing is, they get printed in China. It's $32, right? Which means it's absolutely a niche book.
Mm-hmm.
I know John makes profit off the books. So, and this will probably never be reprinted. Most of the books don't get reprinted, although my history books are getting reprinted. But he is able to make a nice profit. The thing is that the more books you put out, the small profits you make get bigger and bigger, right? Because once you've paid for your printing, it's all profit essentially. And he's smartly built up a large enough catalog that's continually growing where he really can make a decent living from it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually have this also. And I believe this was featured on the Kayfabe show. So maybe that got some sales for it
too. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's cool.
Probably more sales than they'll get from the Classic Comics show. But we bought it. Did you like it too?
I like it. Yeah. I mean, I always buy anything that has Kirby pencils and inks in it. I love it. Yeah.
So what else have you picked up recently?
So I'll talk about some of the things that I read. So this one I won't. So I just recently picked up Palookaville issue. And I read it. And just because Seth has been in the zeitgeist for some reason, I think he has a new book out, actually. I think maybe the new Palookaville, which I haven't read. So I never read his book. I was never exposed to any of his stuff, except he did like a bootleg comic of like Marvel Comics, like he did a cover for it, which I always liked. But yeah, I enjoyed it. This is an auto. It sounds like it's an autobiography about himself, about when he was a punk, like a punk rocker, not a punk like a jerk. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, kind of like showing how like I believe he lives in Toronto, or he did, or one of the big cities, and just him and his girlfriend and how he used to, like, I mean, this is, I'm assuming this is like real time when he was telling it, but like, yeah, he used to dye his hair, and like, it's so interesting to see like the story that he's telling when he was like a punk rocker to now, where he's like a proper, like, dressed up with suit and tie and like even like 1940s glasses and like a, you know, a chapeau or a top hat, or what, not a top hat, but a hat from back then. So it's just interesting to like totally like pivot it out, you know? So that's kind of cool. That's a good book. I enjoyed it. I'd like to read a little bit more about Palookaville. The other thing, I believe I mentioned this. I don't know if I've mentioned this, Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. Have I talked about it?
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe I was somewhere else also. So I love, this is crazy, this story. I bought this book, this issue, because the art is beautiful. It's so adorable. It's like I don't know if he did it in it's drawn and written and drawn by his last name is Horvath. Written, drawn, I believe colored. Yeah, all like almost, I think it's like in watercolor. But it's basically like basically like animals acting like human beings. There are also animals in the story. So like there's like a deer that's not like a human being type, but there's different types of animals. So there's like I'm gonna ruin the story if that's okay. Is that all right? Or I'm just gonna, yeah. I hope you guys read it though. Basically, it's by a guy named Patrick Horvath. He's the total, he just has a letter. He does everything else. And the art is so beautiful. And so I read it. I thought it's like, oh, this is like a cool, like, you know, G, you know, for kids comic. Because even that type of a, you know, it's got a little, like a little bear and a frog and a, like a duck and stuff like that. And it turns out the main character, she owns like a hardware shop, like, you know, Ace Hardware or something like that. And turns out, like, you're like, oh, she's walking through the city. She's like, oh, I'm going to go check out the big city, you know, my trip down there, get away from the little city that I live in. And you're like, oh, okay, this is like a, you know, a country bumpkin going to check out the big city. And it turns out the reason she goes to the big city is because she's a serial killer. And in the little city, if you kill people, it's a lot easier to get caught. But in the big city, people don't care. Like, it's just like a sick,
wow,
sick person. And like the art is just like, it's incredible. I mean, this is halfway through, like she pretends that her batteries have run out in the car, and some guy's like trying to help her out, and then he like drugs him and then like starts chopping him up and stuff and burying him, and like, so it's like, and it's drawn like a kid's storybook.
Where'd you find this?
Just at the comic shop. But this is like, it's pretty incredible.
Self-published?
No, it's IDW.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's IDW. I bought it for the art. And by the way, like, I don't like this kind of story. I don't want like heartache and murder and stuff like that. And I had to buy the second one, and now I'm like, it's in my pull list. I ordered the third one, and it's like, it's such, so well written, and it's beautiful art. And that's what brought me in.
Completely perverse.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It's pretty amazing. Horvath is pretty amazing. The other one is a Image comic book that I got. And I'm familiar with, it's called, I'm familiar with this when it was a mini comic, or like when Andrew Kroenke, he's from Pittsburgh, and he put this out as a mini comic, kind of like a small size. And it's basically like a Conan-esque comic. There isn't much story to it. It's just some guy who looks like Conan, and he's just walking through the snow with his shirt off, as you can see in that picture right there. Mm-hmm. And just battling the elements, snow, hunting for a deer, you know, wrestling a bear and stuff. I got it because the art's beautiful. So that's something that, and it's out by, it's put out by Image Comics.
Quadric with a K.
Yeah, and I'll show one more crazy comic that I actually didn't even bother reading, but It's just amazing. This is something that I just pulled from my boxes. It's a Carl. It's a comic book starring Carl Malone, the mailman.
Really?
And the reason you buy this is purely because of the art. So this is how crazy it is that, like, the story is written by Carl Malone and a guy named Brett Lewis. I'm sure he did most of the heavy lifting, or maybe not. And basically, this stars Carl Malone as, like, basically he's a superhero. And he fights, like, aliens and, like, just weirdos. And the reason you want to buy this, if you could find it, covers by Bill Sienkiewicz, and the interiors are done by Jean-Paul Leon.
Wow.
Amazing art.
Wow.
It's like, how many times have you envied, like, oh my God, the writing is so good. I wish the story is so amazing. I wish they had a good artist. This is the, I don't know if it's the exact opposite, but it's amazing. Jean-Paul Leon's, like, it's one of his best works. I mean, he's an amazing.
Fantastic.
It looks amazing.
Wow.
That guy did not, like, half-ass it, even though, like, he's drawing a comic about this kind of questionable former basketball player.
That is, wow, Amir, you have some good finds this week. So, volume 35 of the EC Comics Artist Library from Fantagraphics is a collection of Reed Crandall book stories called The Bitter End.
Mm-hmm.
Crandall to me is like one of the great EC artists who people don't talk about. His mm-hmm. style is so precise and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so good in black and white. And this collection is, I think, 30 stories by him and another artist, George Roussos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just also spectacular. His figures are perfect. His, like, angles are just right on. And there's a huge amount of diversity. The thing I love about these books, too, is you get a lot of diverse styles, even within the same style, you know, different approaches to things. So, like, this story, Swamped, all takes place in the swamp, and it's all full of swamp creatures. And it's got this kind of deep kind of jungle feel to it. And then the very next story, The Firebug, is an urban tale about an arsonist.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a scene in a bar that's just so powerful. And it's got a great twist ending to it. And then there's this story, Genesis, from one of the sci-fi comics, which is spooky and uncanny and just a trip and a half. Tough cop. I mean, this is just the best 50s horror and sci-fi kind of stuff. And so I just love this. It's also one of the final volumes. And look at that back cover. Like, how dramatic an image is that?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, my God.
So on the front, you got a guy drowning in quicksand. In the back, a car running over a guy. Like, this is what you're going to find in here. Not family friendly, but definitely powerful. So, yeah, really good stuff.
Do you say that's like one of the last volumes?
Yeah, there's only... So they've now reprinted 30... this is volume 35. It looks like so this is all reprints of EC Comics. So there's a limited amount of them, obviously. And it looks like it's going to be between 38 and 40 volumes, just based on the amount of stories that are left. So there's a Jack Davis book that's been announced. It's just mostly going to be horror. A Jack Kamen mm-hmm. book that's going to be mostly horror. And then there's a Wally Wood sci-fi book. So those are the three main collections that are still hanging out there.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, it's very strange, actually, because the only stuff that's remaining is what they call the EC New Trend stories. And of those, it's just Piracy, MD, Psychoanalysis, and Valor. Those four titles. Piracy is a fantastic comic book, maybe the best series EC ever published. It's got some gorgeous Bernard Krigstein art in it. There's something like 189 stories yet to be reprinted, but out of those three volumes, there's going to be about 90 to 100 reprinted. So that leaves about 90 stories left, plus or minus. But like I'm not sure why they haven't reprinted like Psychoanalysis. And there's also some Wood stories from Panic Comic that have never been reprinted.
Those Wood, probably those are the ones that will sell. That's just, Wood is always going to be printed first, right? But Reed Crandall did some piracy ones too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Reed Crandall piracy ones are amazing. So it's one of the prides of my collection to have this full run.
That's awesome. I know.
And the last thing I'm going to mention is another collection I've been picking up, which is I like the Michael Moorcock fantasy stories. Elric and Eric Coase and Hawk Moon. And this is like volume 10 or 12 of the Moorcock series, all reprinted by Titan Books in the UK. And this is a book he did for DC in the 90s, Moorcock's Multiverse. It's got a lot of Walt Simonson in it, huge amount of Walt Simonson in it, and also quite a bit of John Ridgway art as well. So it's gorgeous artwork.
Oh, cool.
And then this other guy, Mark Reeve, who I'm not as familiar with, but really nice work by him as well. And so it just looks magnificent. And it's really kind of essentially telling the stories of all his multiverse of heroes. And so it's just a really fun volume with a lot of really compelling work in it. I'm so glad Titan invested in reprinting all of these books. And apparently there are like nearly a dozen of these Michael Moorcock reprints in print.
Oh, cool. I saw...
Coming soon is volume two.
I saw one where Mike Mignola drew a Moorcock's, like four issues of
it. Yeah. Yeah, he did an Elric series, I think.
Nothing else big. There is one thing that I really love. I need to get more issues of this. It's called the Enfield Gang Massacre. It's an Image Comics. It's a I love Western movies and I love Western comics when done right. Like, for example, the Jonah Hex that by Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti.
Palmiotti and Gray.
That was a great series. But this is actually like a real serious one. And it's actually like, it's a spin-off of the series that the two creators do, Chris Condon and Jacob Phillips, called That Texas Blood, which I also love. But this is like, it goes back years and it's like the Western, like That Texas Blood is about this like sheriff and like a, you know, a Texas, I believe bordering Mexico town. And it's kind of modern times. It goes back and forth between the 2000s and then 70s and 80s or whatever. This one goes back into like the 1800s and the early 1900s where like they're like, you know, were bank robbers and stuff. And it's really cool. It's like a mystery of like these bank robbers are getting blamed for this murder of this bank banker and that they rob like every month. So it's just really cool. There's a sheriff who's like trying to figure it out. Not a sheriff. There's this Texas Ranger who's going after them. So it's pretty cool.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. And then the next thing is just it's called Dutch. I'm not really familiar with this character. It's created by a guy named Chap Yap in the 90s. And Joe Casey and Nathan Fox, who I really like. His art reminds me of Paul Pope. And just read it. Pretty cool. I'm going to get the second issue just because of the art. Simon Gain does the second issue. And this one, I have not read this. Moonray by Brandon Graham. And I believe it's Shorsho Penalta. And I'm a big fan of Brandon Graham and also Shorsha too. I'm actually friends with him on Facebook. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name because I only know him, talk to him over text, but
it's a great cover too.
Great art, great color. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm a big fan of this stuff. It's actually a book that they're basing a video game on this comic book.
Thanks, Amir.
Thanks, Jason.